Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chester A.R.P. Church Devotional Podcast. Thanks for joining us. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. We are in the book of Romans. We continue on. We just got this thing started a couple days ago. Now we jump into some of the meat of the first chapter, really between this point and the beginning, or the middle, I should say, of chapter 3. We're going to hear a lot about sin, a lot about the justness of God's judgment against sin. And that's where Paul starts here in the beginning parts of verse 18 and following in Romans chapter 1. So we're going to read verses 18 through 23, Romans 1 this morning. Here we go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Now, Paul here is starting to lay out his argument as to why we need Jesus. Yesterday, we looked at verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of men, women, and children, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. The good news of the story of Jesus Christ. Why do we need good news? Why do we need to be made righteous? Right, verse 17, Paul says these words, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You may ask the question, why do we need righteousness? Why is that word so important? And what does righteousness mean? Righteousness means right doing things the right way, right living, being declared right in the presence of God. Why do we need that? Well, verse 18 of chapter 1 says, all of us by human nature have become unrighteous. We don't do the right things. God has created us. God has revealed himself to us. God has made himself known to us through the creation and through the scriptures. And yet we have chosen to walk away from him. We have chosen to do things opposite of who he is. So in verse 18, he talks about the wrath of God, which is the judgment of God, being rightly poured out on unrighteousness and ungodliness. Those two words go together, ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness is a lifestyle and a life that is not devoted to God. It's devoted away from God, which leads necessarily to unrighteousness, because the way we are to be righteous in the presence of God is to live rightly with him and to pursue him. Now, verse 19 says, for what can be known about God has been plainly known since the foundations of the world. God has made it known to us. He's made it visible. Particularly, verse 20 says, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature. We can clearly perceive those things ever since the creation of the world. You can look out around you and you can say, you know what? This world had to come into existence somehow. Any thinking person says that. You know, I know we live in a modern world. We try to explain away how this world came to be. But even in the most atheistic settings, we have to ask the question, where did the primordial soup come from? It had to come from somewhere, because we ultimately get down what we call ontologically. We get down to the very essence of being, and we get down to where did things come from? The old adage, what comes first, chicken or the egg, right? And so it's one of those questions that ultimately we have to answer. And God says, I've made it known to you. When you look around, you can tell us everything has a beginning, everything has order, and I've made it known to you. I have eternal power, a divine nature. It's been perceived, and so therefore we're without excuse. The problem is, though we can see that, in our sin, we decided to suppress the truth. Why do we suppress the truth? Why do we hide the truth, put the beach ball under the water, as it were? Because one, we can, and two, if we suppress that truth, then we have the ability to do whatever we want to do. Because if God created us, and we have a if God created us, we have a responsibility to him. But if we want to suppress that and we want to act as if he didn't, then we can do what we want to do. We don't owe him any obedience. We don't owe him any responsibility. And so we have exchanged the immortal God. We know we need to worship, but because we don't want to worship the God who made us, we turn our attention and worship the things of the world, idolatrous actions. And so we exchange the glory of God for idols and for the world in which we live. That's a challenge. Paul says that's for everyone. And justifiably so, God will bring judgment upon those who refuse to turn and follow him. That's just the reality. We're without excuse in the presence of God, and there are consequences for those actions. That's kind of a depressing thing, but we know that God loved us enough to give us Jesus, and Paul will build us to that point. But right now, we need to understand the reality of the world in which we live and the reality of sin. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow as we continue on in Romans chapter 1. Take care.